Welcome to the Deuce. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we're doing episode 18, which is Grease 2.
Yes.
The fabulous Grease 2. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
And I'm happy to announce we do actually have a special guest with us today. So my dear friend Natalie has joined us to talk with us about Grease 2.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on and talk about this wonderful, wonderful sequel.
Actually, and the funny thing was when we had said, I think when we mentioned we were doing music, and you were like, if you do Grease 2, I'm in.
You're in.
So we have been planning.
Have you seen this movie? How many times have you seen this movie, Natalie?
Well, not that many.
Not as many as the first one.
Not as many as you'd like to hope. Yeah. I've seen Grease, the first one, a heck of a lot more than Grease 2. Right.
And you and Jeremy were in Grease in high school, right?
We were. He played Eugene.
Okay.
Yes.
And fabulous. And I was Cha-Cha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So I had to dance. Yeah.
Cha-Cha Di Gregorio.
Because you could dance, right?
Yeah, Natalie was a good dancer.
Yeah.
We turned it into a comical routine when my dance partner, I dropped her on her face when I was trying to do.
Right.
Well, she's like a foot taller than me. And so it was hard for me to do we had to do this like kick leg thing where you would spin the girl around and then step over their legs. And I could never clear her leg the second time, so it was just always on her face. We tried and tried and tried. It was terrible.
Yeah, no, it was. That was a tough dance.
Yeah, it was.
I, as the one that won, I was like, no, this was a tough dance for anyone. So I don't blame them. Yeah.
Well,
and we had a cool set, but it just was that small stage.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, and back in the day, our stage was this weird circular shape. And really? So, yeah.
Theater should be.
Yeah. And it should all be awkward. We learned how to use the space really well.
You could hear people backstage better than when they were on stage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that told me a lot.
That is not a lie. It was pretty bad. But when your band section, which had to be up there, took up like half of the stage. Ooh. And so then you had.
Right.
What we had like then, half of that to work with.
And then when someone falls off the stage,
oh, no.
Then that would make sense, right?
How many people fell off the stage?
We know one.
I apologize for that for years now.
Wait, did you push them off the stage? Why are you apologizing?
I came too far down stage. And we were in a different play. I come too far down stage, and Natalie was supposed to walk away from me and drop to her knees.
And I dropped to my knee. Like, that's the worst thing about it. It's like I like was supposed to just like drop to my knees, and I literally like fell farther than like. I mean, I'm surprised I didn't like break something or I don't know.
Shatter your knees or something.
Shatter knees? Yeah, that could have easily happened. So.
So she drops to her knees at the edge of the stage, but nothing was there supporting her knees. So she literally just slid off of her shins like down the front of the stage into the like front seats.
Yeah. So it was painful.
Was that the Wiz?
No, that was Butterfly.
No, that probably would have made more sense. No, that was a one-act play, a very serious play that really had no reason for any of that to.
Yeah, well, that happens.
And I was the evil Uncle Tokugawa.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
I don't even know what that means. I don't know what any of this means. It's amazing.
It's pretty horrifying. But now we go way back.
Well, we are doing Grease 2 today. And we're excited about that.
Yeah.
But before we talk about Grease 2, there are other podcasts around that you should listen to. But don't take our word for it.
You're listening to the trailer for Diminishing Returns, the podcast about sequels, prequels, spin-offs, and reboots. I'm Chris Scott, and across from me is the man with the stats, Mr. Alan Johnson.
That's right. With more than half of the films on 2015's highest grossing top 10 being sequels or prequels, and only twice since 1999 has the highest grossing film of the year not been part of an existing franchise. We look at what followed, what came before, and we'll sort the Godfather 2s from the Godfather 3s.
Here at Diminishing Returns, we will be guiding you through a serious examination of sequel culture. Clyde the Monkey,
But orangutan.
Orangutan. What am I, a zoologist? Educational as well, this podcast.
You have picked that up watching Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Monkeys. We'll be answering the questions on everybody's lips.
Where does the pollen go?
You can find us on Facebook as Diminishing Returns Podcast. You can follow us at Twitter at Diminishing Pod. Email at diminishingpod@gmail.com.
So if you're serious about cinema, subscribe to Diminishing Returns, the Thinking Man's Film Podcast.
I'm never going to watch this film.
No, anymore. I actually hate you for making me watch them.
You put Basic Instinct 2 on the
list. You're the one that said, let's do a podcast about sequels.
So you think you know what Dirty Harry's up to? Take another look.
Coming soon. Marvel's recent hit, Deadpool, reminded us at Diminishing Returns of the final outing of one of cinema's most iconic characters.
Clint Eastwood is Dirty Harry. He just learned a new game, the Deadpool.
Diminishing Returns, the Thinking Man's Film Podcast. Boobs. Violence.
Yeah, you should definitely check those guys out. It's great. The very similar in nature to our show even. So, but you get the benefit of their cool Scottish accents.
Right.
So.
We're not Scottish. That's the difference.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
The all right, well, why don't we just get into it? Anybody have any last words before
well,
we go into
maybe
this?
Maybe we should talk a little bit about some information about this. You can watch this on Netflix. So if you're a Netflix subscriber, watch it. If you're not, you can get it on Amazon for $2.99. You can watch the original on Netflix too. But
you watched Grease too.
Yeah. And there's some information in this movie. But Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't their first choice, or they had other choices.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, I think, no, Deborah Harry was supposed to play the blonde-haired chick.
Oh, Paulette?
Yeah, Paulette. Pat Benatar was once up for the role that Michelle Pfeiffer plays. Pat Benatar was.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Rex Springfield was supposed to be the cool rider.
Oh, yeah.
John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John were asked at the beginning if they wanted to do a sequel, and then no one talked to them after that.
Ever again,
which is probably for the better for both of them.
Well, and this whole thing is, and you can see some of the examples of it as it goes, but the whole movie really, like the filming and the way it was put together, was kind of a train wreck.
Oh, it's terrible.
It was like they were still finishing up the script as they were filming. And so, like, certain things change midway through the movie, and which becomes pretty obvious later.
I think at one time you can see where they're filming Grease 1 while they're filming Grease 2.
That was a possibility, yeah.
There are about 500 cast members in this movie, and at one point I think you can see all of them, especially at the beginning.
I honestly would believe it because, yes, that first intro... like, literally, I think you saw everyone dance their own solo. It lasted that long.
You did. It lasted forever.
Great, but it lasted that long.
So speaking of the beginning, let's drop the deuce.
Yeah,
we'll drop Grease the deuce here. So here we go.
So at the beginning, we open with Ms. McGee, the principal, who I actually had to go back and change all of my notes because I kept calling her Ms. Lynch, which is her name in the stage play. In the original Grease stage play, as compared to Ms. McGee, for whatever reason.
And she looked like Jane Lynch. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
No, she didn't.
and, of course, her secretary, Blanche, they're comically putting up the school flag when you hear this screech and a crash.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's school buses, and then the 500 cast
members. I don't know if there's like a bus crash, and then like 500 students just magically got off the bus at the same time.
They flew out of the windows.
You know? Yeah, it was a little intense. And they were scared. But honestly, I kind of then understood. At first, I was like, why are they scared of them? And then eventually, I was like, no, they should be scared of them.
Yes.
Because their scene is so... intense.
Oh, it's so
like they're
intense.
Super excited about going back to school, and it's a little bizarre. So
I actually put that this is what Kurt from Glee. This is what his wet dream looks like.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like everyone's getting along, everyone's dancing, doing jazz hands. I'm like,
right.
What?
Yeah, and the so in some of our other ones, like when they get into a dance number or music, you know, we've been able to say, okay, well, we, you know, are saying just like, oh yeah, they do a musical number and maybe there's something happening. You could describe it. Like, so these musical ones that we've reviewed have gone pretty fast. But this opening sequence to Grease 2, I was like, pause it. There are things happening during this song where, like, they would all of a sudden interrupt it with a bunch of dialogue or...
Yes.
Yeah, it was just strange. Weird. So, like, was like at one point, Eugene shows back up.
He came back.
I'm confused.
Was he a senior in the first one? Did he graduate? I thought he was smart.
Apparently not. And, you know, it's kind of odd because I feel like he was actually developed more in this movie than in the first movie, which doesn't make any sense because he did, like, in the play version, he has a stronger role, you know? So it's very confusing why he was there.
It requires a strong actor to play him. I agree.
It did.
The Eugene shows up. And we talk a little bit more about his character later, too, but it's like I think they almost, like, change him to something really bizarre in this one. Like, he's not,
I don't know, it's not even just that he's a geek, it's that, like...
Yeah, he's an idiot in this one.
He's like Screech, where he's just kind of, like, a kind of annoying but there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
no.
I don't know why they added him, so...
Yeah, there's no reason to. It doesn't move anything along.
Well, I'm confused about the timeline on all of it, too. Like, so none of these people showed up. Like, this is their senior year. But if it was, like, how far after it was the first movie? Like, I'm...
Right. I put years later, question mark. Is it 1 year, 2 years?
Yeah, but
I don't
then why
know.
Would Frenchie
I have no
Eugene
clue.
Still be there?
I don't know. But these people are dancing like it's going out of style. They're loving everything. Yeah. I mean, this makes, like, the Newsies look like passive-aggressive pricks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? This is, like, again, like, everyone was committed 150%.
Yeah.
Yes. almost like it wasn't, I mean, it was choreographed, but wasn't. It was like, just do your own thing. Like, after a while, they're like, do it.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I would agree. It
just spin
it was
around.
So intense.
Yeah, it was really intense.
Scary, you know? But again... That's how the principal and Miss McGee and Blanche felt. They were scared, and they should be.
They were terrified. So, I agree.
500 kids coming at you with jazz hands? I'd be scared, too.
So,
and then it would explain why the one teacher, like, kind of, they have that bit where he goes, like, crazy, Mr. Spears. So I don't know if you call that one.
Why he has exhaustion the whole time.
Yeah.
Couldn't keep up with the dancing.
No, he could not. He could not.
So we enter the building first day.
Well, we do get our first glimpse of the pink ladies. So they show up in a like this pink muscle car.
Oh, yeah.
And then sitting complaining about someone who's running late, which, of course, we learn is Stephanie. Leader Stephanie, who is played by Michelle Pfeiffer, of course. And she saunters her way up to the school. And then the T-Birds show up.
Do you think she's late because she lives in a gangster's paradise?
I think so.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Just checking.
She's too busy up all night being Catwoman. So the T-Birds then show up, led by Johnny Nagarelli this time, who's like a dime store knicky. Played by Adrian Zemed.
From Bachelor Party?
Yeah.
The guy from Bachelor Party? Yeah.
And then also of note is Goose, who's played by Christopher McDonald, who was Shooter McGavin.
Yes,
and Billy Madison,
and he did a bunch of other things, but that's all I know. Is Shooter McGavin.
But you've seen him,
yeah.
Like,
he's
seen
everything.
Him. If you watch USA, he probably guest starred on a USA television show.
Oh yeah, like he, I think he's been on in a ton of things.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, it's very exciting to see him, and he was really, I was actually pretty good in it. I'm gonna say.
Pretty young.
So.
Yeah, he was in one of my favorite movies, Dutch.
Oh,
Dutch.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they ride up on motorcycles this time. So they've upgraded from muscle cars to motorcycles, apparently.
Well, and that's a huge factor. That's just a huge focus of this movie is about riding a motorcycle and being amazing at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's they've upgraded to, it's all confusing. They've upgraded to motorcycles. The Pink Ladies have, and the Pink Ladies have upgraded to muscle cars.
Oh, they sold a lot of Mary Kay. They're up to the
pink. To pink muscle cars instead of just riding around on like Nikki's lap everywhere. I mean, it's I mean, they've really made a change with what they're doing. And I think it goes with kind of with the aesthetic that, like, with the focus being on Stephanie, you know, you get that strong woman.
With the roles reversed, aspect, the gender. Yeah. I mean, this is Grease 1, just the gender switched.
Right.
I mean, right. Okay. So speaking of, we get Michael that comes out of the bus. He's the only one that didn't, like, run out of the bus all excited for school.
Yeah, he waited a little bit. So we see Pinky shows up.
Frenchie
shows up, not Pinky. Yeah.
Well, yeah, whatever.
I always confuse that because Frenchie ended up with the pink hair.
Yes.
So Frenchie shows up and meets Michael, who's dressed like some preppy whatever. And it turns out he's Sandy's cousin, thanks to this horrible plot device.
It makes no sense because, like, they both have accents from two different countries. Right. He's from England. She's from Australia. There really was no any sort of connection with it whatsoever.
That's what I said.
No, there's like, no connection.
No, yeah. Obviously they have to be cousins.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Reason as to why Frenchie's in this movie.
No. Right.
Yeah. She needs to make it.
She really doesn't talk to anyone except Michael. Did you notice that?
Wait, I'm sorry. What?
She doesn't talk to anyone except Michael.
No.
For the most part.
You know that's very true. So, well, she says hi to the Pink Ladies at one point, and they like barely acknowledge her.
Right. Because so I
I'm
think
like, did Frenchie die?
Yeah. And I think Frenchie died. And Michael made her up, like Tyler Durden.
That would make more sense.
Just blew your mind, Natalie. Just blew your mind.
I think you're overestimating Grease, too.
Come on, believable.
But it is an interesting way to go.
So Michael shows up. He's dressed like a lame-ass warbler.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And then there's this weird bit where the Pink Lady sings some sort of, like, satanic pledge to the Pink Ladies, like in the courtyard. They all like take a pledge in front of each other, like in singing harmony. It's very strange. So then Stephanie goes and talks with the other Pink Ladies when the T-Birds show up and they at their lockers, and they give her crap because she works at her dad's garage. So she's obviously like the hardworking Pink Lady.
Hey, oh, you work at your dad's garage. Hey, oh.
Well, we didn't see any of them working like in the first movie.
Yeah, that's true.
And so she's, I think, the first person who has a job after school.
I think you said like, were the T-Birds acting coach, like their voice coach, Andrew Dice Clay?
Oh yeah, they got elocution lessons from Andrew Dice Clay.
Hey, oh,
oh,
hey.
Well, they kind of. Like Negrelli, like kind of looked like him, so you know.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. Well, and she said that she and Johnny are done. Like she was going with him, but broke up with him, and of course he's not really happy about that.
Also, this
he can't get over that.
Yeah,
yeah.
He does.
It's a significant plot point.
If this is a year later, like we never saw these people in the first movie, they didn't interact with them at all. They just kind of. The next totem pole up, like we're now the Pink Ladies.
Yeah,
like there were no Pink Ladies in training. Wait,
what? How do you become a Pink Lady or a T-Bird? To just be a senior, or well, I mean, besides that, like no, but do you have to be a senior or something?
Well, you would think like, there would at least be one of them who is like, did they just leave and go? I drop my jacket on the ground, and whoever picks it up is now a Pink Lady.
Yeah,
Natalie, really... I know how you become a Pink Lady. I know lots of guys who know how to become a Pink Lady.
Yes, I mean, I get that. It just was surprising because, again, like, Frenchie knows the rules and kind of knows the girls, but it's like, well, yeah, it does go back to, like, how much time has passed between here.
Right.
So, and why is she back in high school?
She actually calls, like, Stephanie. Oh, yeah, Stephanie, she's one of my best friends, yet I've never talked to her ever.
No, at all. Like, yeah, I mean, like, this friendship, it's like, really, Frenchie? I don't know
about that. Frenchie wants to go back to school.
She's dead.
She wants to make face cream for, like, whatever.
She's okay. Going back for, she needs chemistry classes. Because it's a university, like, where you just go randomly select a couple electives.
No, seriously, we failed on Frenchie's education. I mean, she like dropped out and no one really cares.
No one cares.
And then she came back and everyone's like, yeah, sure, go ahead.
No child left behind unless you're Frenchie.
Yes. Unless she was.
Unless you're named after a mustard, then we will not advance you.
Yes. No. And then they were like, oh, yeah, you want to take chemistry? Sure.
Sure, why not?
She's like in her own separate class. Not with anyone else.
And she like blows everything up the first day, too. Yeah.
She really does. Are we in the bowling? Are we?
No, we're not even there yet. Okay. So we're still in the hallway.
Oh, God.
So Michael's trying to get to his locker. So Eugene is showing him around. And right. talking to him like English and American are two languages. And this is where the lockers are. And so I always thought maybe it was wishful thinking and maybe I played it wrong. But like I always thought that Eugene was like supposed to be like a smart nerd. And
well, I thought so too. Yeah.
And this asked me a question. So. Now he just seems like an idiot.
Yeah. No.
Seemed like there was something wrong with him.
Maybe that's why he's back.
Yeah, maybe that's why. You know, maybe this is not a great school. Frenchies like that. Let's be honest. Like, what? Who? This is not a good school. Okay, we need to go back. I mean, and even the teachers. I mean, they're.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We learn things.
Yeah. They're like, well, where do you go to school? I go to Rydell. Yeah. Well,
later, Ms. McGee says, these are my boys. I'm like, why are you, like, cavorting with, like, gang members?
No,
She's very tight with them for some reason.
Yeah, she's so tight, but she calls them T-bones instead of T-bones.
Yeah, I know. That made no
these
sense.
These are my boys, the T-bones.
That's her. It's their nickname for each other.
Whatever.
Funny. She's quirky like that.
Yeah. So Eugene tells Michael to get a locker. But, of course, he mistakenly tries to get one that's already taken by the T-Birds. And then they have, like, a whole wing of lockers for four of them.
These are the T-Birds.
And, of course, they give him crap about that. Stephanie is kind of apologizing and saying, hey, don't worry about them. While she's, of course, getting out of her work clothes and into her, like, putting her skirt on, as was the dress code. So she's getting that all done. Meanwhile, we see Miss Mason, played by Connie Stevens.
Connie Stevens, yeah.
In her homeroom, and she has to have the homeroom from hell. It has all the T-Birds, all the Pink Ladies, Michael, and then Goose, who apparently gets his nickname from goosing women. And you'll see the sexual assault theme that runs throughout this. Like, he constantly is, like, groping women or forcing himself on people. It's very awkward.
Yeah, true. And then even the kids are with Miss Mason. The guys are, like, obviously want to get with her.
Yeah.
And she's not opposed to that. Like, she's not really opposed to it.
She's not like, hey, that's unethical.
Yeah. And she keeps wearing these low tops. It's like, can you catch on to what they're, you know, they're obviously they're commenting on your boobs, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah, she's all about that. creepy Miss Mason. Mm. So then we get the creepy twin cheerleaders.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I was trying to figure out who they were, and I thought maybe for a minute they were Jennifer and Meg Tilly, but they're not.
Oh, no, that would make sense. No, they are, and they are really creepy.
Yeah, they're creepy.
And so they're trying to, of course, get FaceTime with Michael. He's not interested. He's looking at Stephanie. And of course, Frenchie warns him, the only way that you can be with a pink lady is if you're a T-Bird.
Right. I know this because I'm best friends with Stephanie.
Yeah, it's true. We talk all the time.
That was so obvious.
Yeah, I'm standing over here like 50 yards away and behind a fence because we're good friends.
Stephanie has a restraining order against me.
Well, yeah, I don't blame her. She was like, I don't have time for those nonsense.
And she was like, you can look, but you can't touch. Don't even look.
Ever.
And of course, there's this weird moment with... So they added in the first Grease movie, so to touch base there, they added a lot with the coach. Played by Sid Caesar. So they did a lot with him. In
this movie.
What's that?
I was saying that, but they used him again, and it was like clearly he just needed the paycheck. Because yeah. I don't know why.
Yes, there was like no point to it, except there's this one. There's this weird part where just that's coming up here where they're doing like football practice, and he's saying, you know, push, push, push. They're pushing one of those sleds, and he keeps telling him to keep going. Well, behind the sled is like an open grave or something that's on the dug in the end zone of the football field. And of course, they keep pushing it, and he tells them to keep going, and they do it. And
if
he
you
like
look
falls
closely,
into
I think
it.
The headstone says Sid Caesar's career.
Does it?
Yeah.
Or Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, but yeah, they push him into this like giant open, perfectly square cut hole in the end zone of the football field.
Awkward. I feel like this movie was about a lot of like bits, like
at the beginning
of this. Let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, it just it's like the last scene. Again, going back to the first scene of the movie after the 3-hour dance, you know, intro. Like someone jumps in, dives into the window.
Yeah. No, you're right. I forgot about that.
Oh, the guy that
they dance and there's people. There's like one guy who's late after they've closed the doors and everybody's moved off. And he runs and dives in the window.
Yes. So, yeah, but the movie, there was just a lot about like, oh, you know what would be funny? And then like they would film it. Yeah, and then like, but you know what would be better? Like they kept just upping it.
Yeah,
so
that makes
sense. Especially at the beginning of this movie, it's very conjointed. Like it's very...
Yeah, it's very disjointed. There's no disjointed, like cohesion to what's going on. So, so
you
we see
we're gonna go bowling.
No,
oh god, we're not
there.
The bowling.
I know you're so anxious for it.
I'm so anxious for the bowling.
He's ready to score.
So we run. We also see Leo Craterface Balmudo.
Oh yeah.
So they just call him Balmudo in this one, but last time his name was Craterface.
Yeah.
And.
Person.
It is,
no,
the,
it
same
is.
Person.
It's the same guy.
Same actor and same character.
Okay, that was confusing to me because I saw that and I was like, well, wait, is this just two different people? But that would make more sense. I was like, are they really that dumb? They didn't give him the same name. So
they call him something different, but he's the same person. Because that was, they say in the first movie, I guess his name's like Leo Balmudo or something.
He looked
like
if Kevin Bacon was like in a fire accident.
It might be, yes. Sounds about right. But okay, apparently he has given up running with the Scorpions, who was his team in the first movie, his gang in the first movie, and is now with the Cycle Lords, as they've upgraded to riding motorcycles.
Cycle Lords.
The best.
I never thought that they were going to develop this character that much, and yet his changed a lot. His really developed.
There's a lot of backstory we don't get. Like, what prompted you to go from like the muscle car to motorcycle?
Well, they went from like the Scorpions to the Cycle Lords.
Yeah.
Which I think in the third Grease, if they ever make that, would be the Powder Puffs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He downgraded on that
I don't
name.
Know. What's a cool name for a rollerblade gang?
Yeah, that's not like why don't you just keep with the Scorpions? Right? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he lost his car in Grease 1, so there you
go. But he can keep the Scorpions.
Well, yeah, of course.
It's a more interesting plot. Like maybe he had to win back the car.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that would be considered a good plot. Whatever crap they were trying to push on us on this movie. So
Johnny is making moves on Paulette. He's basically just doing a Marilyn Monroe impression. It's her and there's another gal. Oh, gosh, I can never remember her name. Denise or something like that. One of them is always dressed like Jackie Kennedy, and the other one is always doing her Marilyn Monroe impression.
Again, another bit. Ha ha, aren't we funny?
Yeah, exactly. And so they just drive that into the ground, at least for the first, like, again, first half of the movie.
Although, were you aware who Paulette is?
No.
I am not.
No, go ahead.
So it's Lorna is it left? And her mother is Judy Garland.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Nice. I did not know that.
Really?
Yes.
So how is she related to? So she was like half sisters with Liza.
She is. Yes, she's Liza's half sister.
Okay.
And I think I was again. I go through my IMDb and I like read up on people, and I think she still like sings and tours and does all sorts of things. So
her name is familiar, Lorna Luft.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. I was like, wait, why does this name sound familiar? And that was the reason.
Well, there you go. So, that's very interesting. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that either. Thank you, Natalie.
I know. Now that you know that, you're like, wow. And then you're like, why didn't she sing a little bit more? Because she has a good voice.
Yeah. And actually, like later on, I enjoyed her acting a little bit more than at the beginning.
Yeah.
She had a few good moments.
Well, she's just really too caught up in this whole like being with John Negrelli, and it just was weird. Let's be honest.
It was very weird. So I think this is also. Oh, and she does this. She does a granny bowl.
Yes. And at the bowling alley.
Are we
at the bowling alley?
Yeah, now we're at the bowling alley.
Okay, good.
So she does this granny bowl, and I think she really, like, they show.
Did you think she really struck? Like, she got a strike?
Well, I don't know if she really got a strike, but she would have hit a bunch of pins. Like, her granny bowl, it curved and actually looked like it was going to do something. So, of course, they show her getting a strike, whether that actually happened or not.
True story, Judy Garland was really good at granny bowl, too.
Was she?
No, I made that up.
That's how she got this role.
Can you granny bowl? Yes. Incredibly yes.
We don't care about your singing. Who's your mom? We don't care.
No.
Right. That's irrelevant.
So at the bowling alley, and they start breaking into song, right?
Yeah. So they start singing, "Let's bowl.
We're going to bop, we're going to bowl, we're going to rock, we're going to roll, we're going to score tonight." They're not even trying to hide the innuendos in Grease 2.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was about that.
In Grease 1, we at least kind of tried to hide it, but in Grease 2, I mean, we're all out.
Oh, yeah, it's totally overt. It is very blatant.
So they do this whole spin thing. They're dancing. And by the way, they're just going down the bowling alley. Like, all these the bowling lanes.
Yeah.
All these frames don't count because they're past the foul line.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, it was foul, all right.
This whole scene makes the freeway scene from La La Land look like the freeway scene from La La Land.
I would agree. Yeah, it was very it was kind of dangerous, but again, they were very committed to bowling.
Obviously
not committed enough not to, like, get on the lane and follow the rules.
No, not to follow the rules. I read that on IMDb. On IMDb, it said that Kanicki, Jeff Conway, was supposed to appear in a cameo as the manager of the bowling alley.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah, but he was too busy doing cocaine and alcohol. No, Taxi. I'm sorry, Taxi.
Well, that could have been good.
Cocaine and alcohol too, but
How long would it have taken him to film it? I get he's doing Taxi, but like it wouldn't have been a recurring.
Look, a hickey from Kanicki.
You know, $50 something didn't go off.
Well, and okay, so Johnny in this, he's singing. He's the main vocal on this.
Yeah,
and he actually at one point like slides down the lane. And he hits this falsetto note.
Oh, my God.
That is insane. And I don't know if that's really him
what,
but it sounded really impressive.
Let's just say I think someone kicked him in the bowling balls.
No, actually, the singing in this is actually very good. And I think that's the one thing that they decided to do is have more musical numbers because I love the first Grease. Don't get me wrong, but when you compare it to the musical, like it's like they took out all the singing, which again is fine. But
I'm gonna tell you that the singing is decent in this movie, but the dancing is not. The dancing is not that good.
Kind of intense, I said. It's just a really intense. But yeah, I mean, and the songs are quirky.
Yeah, they're not.
I mean,
very well written.
So the dancing, it's like, it's not as complex as it is in Grease 1, I don't think. But I think they try to say, hey, look, we don't have as much quality, so let's just overcome that with quantity.
Yeah.
And we just have all 500 people dancing at once.
Yeah.
make none of this memorable, but memorable.
All you'll remember is lots of dancing.
I did sing along because I knew the song. I mean, it's easy to remember. You're gonna bop, you're gonna bowl, you're gonna rock, you're gonna roll.
Yeah,
these aren't great lyrics, right?
No,
who wrote them? Like,
oh,
Louis St. Louis.
Yeah, Louis St. Louis,
which is the guy that wrote the original.
A guy whose name is like Stephen Husker or something like that. Yeah. Frank Husker, Dominic Bugatti.
He was an original T-bird, I think.
Was he? A Bugatti. Anyway, so Michael is deciding that he's going to be a T-bird and try to get in with them so that he can, be with Stephanie. So he shows up to join them for bowling. Coincidentally, Johnny is fighting with Stephanie at the same time. She says she'll kiss the next guy who comes in, and he of course says go ahead, and thinking it's going to be this old guy. But as she's going over there, Michael is the first one in, so she kisses Michael. And, he, Johnny not happy about that. So the Pink Ladies and the T-Birds all leave. And they leave behind, so Michael is still there. And they leave behind the youngest Pink Lady, or she's like their Pink Lady mascot, Dolores.
I think it's Paulette's sister. Again, they don't really develop that. They had this idea, and she has a cute scene, and then you're like, okay. Then she just goes away.
Yeah, so she's got a skateboard, which is I thought was a weird thing, but I think she's supposed to be Paulette's sister. I wasn't sure because Paulette kept telling her to go home, but they don't really clarify that much. And
maybe I just made that up. I just feel like, again, she was the only one that cared that she was there. So I thought, oh, that's a sister thing.
Well, and then, of course, Michael is like, I'll walk you home or I'll take you home. And, of course, Joe just says, this is a date. There you go. You know, and trying to be nice. Now, that girl, by the way, is Pamela Adlon or Pamela Adlon Seagal. And I don't know if you... recognize her, but she's the voice of Bobby Hill from King of the Hill.
Really?
Yeah, and she was in Californication and some other things like that too. But yeah, that's Bobby Hill who's there.
Interesting.
And she has a very strong like speaking voice. If you listen to her, like when you hear her, she doesn't sound all kind of muddled or whatever. She sounds like she knows what she's doing. So.
Right. So she knew what she was doing, and so they decided to not use her. They were exactly.
It's like they gave her a role, and then they're like, nah, we're not going to use you.
And she kept showing up.
Good movie. Let's figure out something else for you to do.
Go get us lunch. She kept showing up in the background, you know, or just tagging along with them, but she wasn't actually saying anything, which is a shame. Because I thought that was one of the cuter moments of the movie when she was talking to Michael.
It was, and then you think that she at least was gonna like maybe be like his sidekick or help her or help him get the girl. You know, again, another great use of maybe creating a story that never got used. So
exactly,
you know,
I thought it was a complete waste. So now at this point, we go back to the school and we're introduced to Mr. Stewart. Played by Tab Hunter.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of pink ladies, he's the biggest pink lady of them all in this movie.
Tab Hunter. So he shows up to be a substitute teacher, and he has to be there, like, in the beginning half of the year.
Oh, yeah, because they invite him to everything.
Yeah, like, did the other teacher just keel over? I don't know what happened.
I think he fills in for What's-His-Face.
Yeah, for Mr. What was his name? I had it. Mr. Spears.
Yeah,
I know.
Spears.
It's odd that I would connect to this guy so strongly. But, but no, he like went crazy and was acting really naughty. So
he's Mr. Spears' replacement?
I think so. We're going to assume. I mean, come on. The plot's pretty loose in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. So, of course, he comes in and says, hey, you know, I'm your substitute teacher. So all the students just walk out of the class. Which is fine. That's great. Like this, I'd expect maybe a couple, but like the entire class to leave seems a little strange to me. Like, it makes me think that like all the kids in the 50s or 60s were horrible.
No, it's true. They were.
They were?
Yeah.
They were all like this?
Yep. All horrible.
So
again,
then,
it's a fun
thing. It's a what?
They're like, we don't have anything else to do. Yeah. We don't have our script.
Yeah.
You know, let's just play this. Let's just, you all leave. Let's spill this. Okay.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's perfect. That'll move the plot along. Great.
So now we start our first like rehearsal or auditions for the talent show.
Yes.
So this talent show is like they're rehearsing it through the whole year?
Yeah, basically.
No.
That's what I felt like.
Well, they were. So they okay, were. So it's the
because at the end of the year it's like the talent show.
Yeah, the movie begins at the beginning of the year.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
And
yeah,
graduation.
That's...
So the talent show, this is their entire year that they're like committed to.
They are all on top
Gosh,
of this talent show.
Up with? Yeah. Yeah. I think they would have done better.
There's no extracurricular activities except the talent show.
Everybody is in it. Everybody.
Yes.
So Michael, who is apparently their accompanist now for whatever reason, tries to ask Stephanie out. This is where we get when he said, "Are you free?"
Oh, okay. And she says,
"Are you free after rehearsal?" And she says, "Well,
it's
yeah.
It's a constitution. I'm always free."
Yeah, the constitution. Of course I'm free.
Which the 37th Amendment of the Constitution says, pink ladies are free.
It's true.
We should have that.
So they rehearse Girl for All Seasons, which they do multiple times.
Yes.
They never quite get through it, though.
No.
They never get all of it.
No, they don't. So so she shoots him down a little bit.
Why? Because she wants a cool rider.
He pleads with her, and she responds singing Cool Rider.
Cool Rider. Now, this is the song everyone remembers out of this movie, right?
Yes.
You would say so. Everyone remembers.
And she just kind of gets off her own tangent, and it's amazing. Yeah.
It's Mel Fife, because that's how I call her, Michelle Fife. And she's walking on set of Our Town, pretty much. And she straddles like a ladder.
Yeah.
It's like, cool ride, giving a little shoulder action. It's great.
Well, my favorite part of this is that obviously the musical accompaniment is got to be coming from her because she's – Michael's not even there anymore. She's just singing and dancing around. And she's still singing and dancing her way across campus.
Yes.
And as she's moving away from Michael, she's still singing, but the accompaniment is like fading out. So I'm like, is it just like you get far enough away from her and you don't hear the musical going on?
This is great dancing. Now, you're a dancer. Please like critique her dance for me, Natalie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just very kind of improvised a little bit. So I feel like out of all the scenes that were very choreographed, this was the one that they were like, no, Michelle, whatever, you do this on your own. You just rock it out. And she probably could add a little bit more. I don't know. She could add a little bit more guidance with it.
She could add a lot more guidance. I mean,
she.
David E. Kelly saw this performance and immediately fell in love with her. And then he created L.A. Law.
That's true.
That's not true. Mm-hmm. But she is married to David E. Kelly in real life.
I knew that, yes. Yeah.
I read my IMDb too.
Exactly. It's worth it.
It is.
Find out some information.
Not Wicca. I don't go on Wicca. Yeah. I go on IMDb.
No. Yeah, do it upright. So, As the music is fading out because she's cool riding across the campus, Demucci, who I mistakenly thought was the dad for the Twisted Sister videos.
Oh, you know, he's not.
he comes up and asks Michael for help writing a paper in exchange for cash. And so Michael plans to use it to buy a motorcycle so that he can become a T-Bird. And so later, Demucci shows up in Michael's uncle's bomb shelter to pick it up.
Yeah, what was that all about?
No clue.
It was, you know, it was the '60s. It was the scare of like
we were going to use the library scene, but we couldn't use it that day. So let's use the bomb shelter set.
Yeah, they really wanted to focus on that. Like again, they had like the drill, and you know, even when they go in there to have that one weird song about
with the girl,
doing it for country.
The girl from fame,
the rape song with the girl from fame. Yeah,
yeah,
that one. The
so yeah, that. Focus. They must have spent a lot of money on that set piece or something.
They're gonna use it. They're gonna use that.
Gonna use it, damn it. No, but I was like, wait a minute. So all of a sudden, I started thinking Sandy's dad has a bomb shelter in his backyard. Like it was just all of a sudden, I was like, oh, like I expected him to open it, and there's like Danny's skeleton like locked away in there.
I'm going to tell you what's really in that bomb shelter. Here are 1,000 copies of Grease 2.
The bomb
just
shelter?
Locked in there.
He's perfect.
Why not put a bomb in a bomb shelter?
Makes
Grease
sense.
2.
Right.
So apparently word gets out that Michael is good at rewriting papers and writing it in different people's handwriting. Like he's a master counterfeiter. Because then he does some for Goose and he does
Take
some
that
for
show
Johnny.
On the road.
And so we keep getting this montage of him rewriting people's papers for them. Then we see
great montage.
Yeah, it's,
you know?
It's fantastic. It's like three people long. Yeah. Then we get to
like they're always meeting like underneath the bleachers.
Yeah,
and I'm
or
like,
in a weird hallway that doesn't match the rest
of the school.
In a weird
way, I think they kind of are attracted to Michael in a way. They're like, ooh.
But hasn't he really been a T-bird all along? No.
No.
So
I thought you were going to say a tease all this time.
Well, you know.
He is kind of tease.
He is. With those big blue eyes and that pompadour hair.
And that not Australian accent.
A not Australian accent.
So yeah. Mr. Stewart, no, Tab Hunter is teaching sex ed.
The perfect person to teach sex ed.
And he says,
instead of a gay guy, do sex ed.
So he asks this question, and of course every kid refuses to answer, and they're just pawning the answers off on other people. And of course he says, what's the best time to conceive? To which DiMucci answers, in the evening. Ba-dum-bum-bum. And so then we break out into song.
Yeah,
reproduction. Probably the second song that I think people know.
I think it's the
for.
Second song everyone knows, is this song.
Yeah. That could be right. I would believe that. That's a pretty, it was a fun song.
I think, these songs aren't the greatest songs in the world, but I think this is one of the better songs of this movie. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. I feel like it is one of the better songs. And it's, again, kind of, it's just like, it's weird. I don't know.
It's very weird.
It's a weird song, but like it worked. Again, I feel like if the script matched the songs, then it might be like more fun.
We even
said
that.
But it just comes out of nowhere.
It sounded like the songs were not from Grease. It sounded like we said that it sounded like they were from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Or it sounded like Reject Song from like Meatloaf's Bad Outta Hell.
Yeah.
Like it sounded like something like that.
It had that that early 80s rock. Like faux doo-wop feel kind of a thing on some of the songs, like Cool Rider even. I think this is one of the songs where it actually sounds good and starts to have like the saxophone that like blends into it and everything.
I'm just saying the lyrics were somewhat decent.
This one had an expanded vocabulary.
Vocabulary.
Right.
Instead of saying
a lot more time on the song, not on the script.
I love that Johnny says, was they were talking about pregnancy or getting pregnant. He says, can't women count from their, count the days for their menstruation? I think, I can see your face on
this
Skype,
song is,
Natalie, and that's exactly what I felt like.
That's what I'm saying. This isn't a great song, but it's probably one of the better songs in it. It's a very rapey song, don't get me wrong.
It is. It's kind of.
It is.
Yeah,
a little disturbing.
Yeah, these songs are very like.
It's like all really accept the fact that boys are gonna just like take over your body and everything. You have no choice.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's also like let's write a song and put every sexual innuendo in it.
Yes, one right after the other.
So this could have been in any classroom. Mm-hmm. It could have been like the history classroom or the math classroom. Like, you know what I mean? Give them a little song, like if it was in the math classroom.
Yeah. Go ahead. Do you want? You want
to... Like, oh, fractions. Ooh, or something like that. I don't know.
Something about sexual angles.
Yeah. Oh, why don't we do a 90-degree angle? Like, stuff like that. Like, it's just very, like, very disturbing.
And of course then, so Ms. McGee scolds Mr. Stewart for teaching sex ed, even though that's what he's there to do.
Right.
And
it's not like he took over geometry class and was like, let's talk about sex ed.
Yeah, no. And then,
yeah.
And then there's this weird part where a girl comes up to Ms. McGee and says, I'm worried I missed my last two periods. And she says, it's okay. You'll make them up later. And then it's like, yeah, as the kid walks away, they actually do like a boom kind of minute, like when it like hits her and they do like weird sound to it.
Very again, odd. They're trying too hard.
Yeah, agreed.
Because again, they didn't write a script, so again, it was just like, you know what would be funny here?
Yeah. Yep.
Let's do this.
Exactly. Michael finally gets enough money to, and he builds himself a motorcycle, which is kind of cool, I guess. Instead of buying one, he just like assembles one out of
That's
the best
pretty
parts.
Badass.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So.
He's just an amazing guy. Like, you know, he can help the T-Birds out, and he can build his motorcycle. What can't Michael do?
He can do his homework in a bomb shelter. He could do it all.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's all thanks to his imaginary friend, Frenchie.
<It's> all...
who shows up, who, again, just shows up in the park where he happens to be practicing on his motorcycle. She just, like, is summoned there.
I really need to talk to someone. Who? Let me Tyler Durden Frenchie in my head. Okay. Now let's talk about the plot.
So he's not very good at writing right now. And he actually, like, messes up the bike and has to go fix it one more time in another montage. And, of course, we cut back to... Again, them practicing for this eternal talent show that's around the corner. So we have
that's all that happens in high school. You prep for the talent show.
That makes sense.
In the 60s, that's all you did.
Right, that makes sense.
Bomb drills and practicing
bomb drills.
Talent shows and
nuclear drills and talent shows.
I mean, you got to think about it. Frenchie was in more of a class than anyone else combined.
Kind of.
It's true.
And she doesn't exist, so, you know.
There you go.
Right. She's dead.
So the Peptones sing Sandman.
People are going to watch and be like, is she dead in this movie? What?
I think she might be.
What?
I think she might
be,
actually.
I think we broke new ground. You heard it here at the Deuce first.
Gives it some depth that Frenchie's actually dead.
Breaking news. The Deuce just uncovered. Frenchie's dead in this Grease movies.
That would explain so much.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That doesn't even explain anything.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
So we're at the talent competition.
Yeah, so, and of course, Mrs. Stevens is saying, oh, you know, these are... good example of all American boys, and they are an example of good breeding. And then the T-Birds show up and are like train wrecks. And of course, Ms. McGee says, do they have that kind of relation? Or she says, well, these are my boys, and basically points out that the T-Birds are hers, or like close to her, I guess. So I don't know what kind of relationship they have, but I know that like Johnny says that his mom says that Ms. McGee should come over for Paschetti. So he's a high school senior who still says Paschetti, just so everyone's aware. But like, she apparently just eats dinner with them all the time. I don't know what's happening.
What a weird like lines in the script. Like, let's add this end to it. Let's develop this, and then they never do.
Yeah.
It means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing.
No.
So then the T-Birds decide they need to be better singers after watching the Peptones harmonize in the shower.
Right. Why and, were they there?
Yeah. And if you think that sounds weird, what's weirder is that the Peptones are fully clothed and just standing in a shower, which is not running, practicing.
Well, good acoustics in the shower, maybe.
Is that why, maybe?
I heard the Peptones are going to be in Pitch Perfect 3. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay,
think
just checking.
They should be.
So then the Cycle Lords... so we go to... they go to the bowling alley again.
Right.
And as Dolores...
The Bowlerama.
Yes. As the little Dolores is walking in, Craterface is out there, and she, of course, makes fun of him or yells at him and closes the door. Tells the T-Birds that, hey, he's out there alone. You should go get him. And, of course, they're like, yeah, let's do this, since he's by himself. Well, by the time they get out there, there are Cycle Lords everywhere, so it was a trap. And, of course, they all turn tail and run back inside.
Yeah.
But not before their one sidekick, whose name I don't know still, like their youngest one, he runs out there after them, not realizing they've left, and he runs right into the horde of Cycle Lords. So they get a hold of him. They're going to beat him up. But right as they're going to beat him up, the Mystery Rider comes by on his bike and, like, karate kicks Craterface in the neck.
And we get this song, Who's That Guy? Yeah.
Who's That Guy?
Let me tell you who that guy is. That's Biff, the stunt double. The stunt coordinator.
Yes, correct. Yeah,
that's who that is. Doing jumps.
Yes.
Evel Knievel style.
So he starts karate chopping him and going after him.
Wait, do we have a guest?
We do.
We do.
Oh.
Okay. Felicity.
Do you want to say something?
Say hi.
Hi.
Yes. Felicity got on our podcast. Yay, Felicity.
Yeah. Are you a cool rider, Felicity?
Yeah, you are.
She has snakes.
That's
Ooh,
right.
Cool.
Cool rider.
The cool rider has snakes.
Cool. You got snakes?
Yes.
She can be a cool rider. A cool rider.
So yeah. Glad Felicity guest starred. All right.
I'm excited about it.
Me too.
So they sing that song, Who's That Guy? And of course, the pink ladies are all turned on. The T-Birds more so. they really are all enthralled by Mystery Rider. And
he's amazing, though. And especially after, like, he was so crappy in those montages.
Yeah,
he just came amazing. Because Mike can do anything.
Oh, he can do anything.
Well, they came back and they showed him like spinning around on his motorcycle and doing things in that same park. You know,
no,
like
he's off.
The second.
Now they did say he could do anything. There is one thing he can't do: sing in this movie.
That's true.
Right.
So far, he doesn't really. He sings like one line in this song, and then he has a song at the end, but he really doesn't sing that much.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah. So. After he leaves, and like he's dressed like in this like almost like a greaser costume, but he has a helmet and goggles so she can't see who he is.
A la Superman style.
Yeah, Superman, Spider-Man, Cinderella, whatever it is. So the pink ladies, they question Stephanie's loyalty.
And the T-Birds question their sexuality.
It's correct.
That's about right, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know which one of the pink ladies you would have been like, yeah, besides Stephanie. I mean, no wonder that Pinkrelli was kind of upset.
Yeah.
It's like, man, she's the hottest one.
Yeah, no, it's true.
The other one got a nose job that she's barely a pink lady. I don't know.
The other one's a hag from, like, fame.
The one who got the nose job had glasses that had, like, diamond eyebrows on them for some reason. Very weird. So they question her loyalty since apparently, I'm not sure they necessarily covered this in the first one. I don't remember this, but the pink ladies are like the female chapter of the T-Birds, basically.
Yes, you have to date a T-Bird.
Right. Yeah, they're only there to service
but
the T-Birds.
But we didn't know if you don't date a T-Bird and you deny them, you have to give your jacket and your status up. We didn't know about that. We're like, that seems odd.
There's so many rules to this. This was never established in Greece.
This never came up before.
I would have never been a pink lady.
No.
And, of course, Stephanie says she's tired of being someone's chick. Which makes sense when the next scene she comes in and she's just wearing, like, a sleeveless flannel shirt. So I knew exactly what she meant then.
Yeah, right.
But later, so Michael goes in to talk to Frenchie, and he's talking about how, like, he was so close. And she goes, well, little birdie told me that some motorcycle guy came through and did all this cool stuff. And he's like, yeah, that was me. She said, well, just tell her. And then the other pink lady, of course, she's working in the chem lab.
Right.
Doing some gigantic chemistry thing with, like, tubes and swirls. And I mean, it's like a full-on laboratory situation.
Then the pink ladies come in. Don't acknowledge her.
Yeah, yeah. They come in. Do not acknowledge Frenchie.
How's it going, best friend Stephanie?
Frenchie, who's the ghost. They don't acknowledge her.
Care less that she was there. So there is no loyalty to the pink ladies. No. I mean, that's why, you know, there's just no loyalty in general.
Can we question
that about Stephanie. Hmm.
Yeah, right. Can we also point out that this is the last time we see Frenchie for the rest of the movie?
It is.
Oh, right. It was that the yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's
I was
kind of
curious about that.
Well,
she probably blew herself up or something, right?
Yeah, probably. She had to be on Shining Time Station.
She blew up, is that what you said? She was on Shining Time Station. Oh, God, I forgot she was.
So what was the story behind, like, Didi Khan said that, like, all of a sudden they
Didi Khan said that she came back, they wrote her a role, and then about halfway in the movie, she was like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, yeah, we don't have any more for you to do. They just kind of didn't write her.
But it's weird. So this.
But it feels like that.
But this is about the point in the movie when it stops becoming. I feel like they changed writers. Yeah. Like, there's a point in the movie where it stops becoming, like, intricate or like little gags that are strung together, and it starts becoming like a through story.
Like a through story with the cool writer with the mystery of him.
Yeah, and this is about where it starts. Is where, like, it kind of has a through thing, and, like, even the music changes too.
Yeah, it becomes more doo-wop, more Grease-like.
Yeah, and so I feel like the production team got switched out at some point.
They probably did. There probably was some fight.
Yeah, probably.
There needs to be, like, a behind the scenes. Is there a DVD commentary? Is there commentary on this one? There should be.
Should be.
Right?
It's just Michelle Pfeiffer going, oh, I'm sorry. Why did I do this? Why did I do
just
this?
Just her moaning a lot.
Right.
Apologizing to us for 2 hours.
What else is she doing? Come on. Okay, yeah, she did some.
She doesn't have to do
anything.
She
did some everything.
Her
for
husband
a while.
Is rich.
Makes a lot of money. Yeah, that's true. She's got that choice. It's exciting.
So now DiMucci takes Sharon, which is the one who is dressed as like Jackie Kennedy and who is in Fame. They take Sharon to Michael's fallout shelter, where he tries to trick Sharon into having sex with him, and then sings the song, "Let's Do It for Our Country."
Again, like, you're not even hiding it. You're saying "Do it for our country."
And it's weird, like, part of the way through, he dresses up like in, like, has a military, like, army helmet and has a,
They start doing some role-playing, I would say.
Right.
So I thought it was going
to
happen.
They start role-playing A Farewell to Arms while he's singing.
Yes. Yes.
Really?
So he talks her into it, and, like, she's, like, bandaging up his arm and head for whatever reason. And of course she ends up finding out that the other T-Birds are listening and, runs away. And then, Stephanie, in the meantime, is working at her dad's service station, getting yelled at by a bunch of old white people, when the mystery man shows up and she just rides away with him.
'Cause why not?
And we kind of have this whole, like, Superman flying around with Lois Lane montage where it's just a bunch of, like, overture music.
Hmm.
It's the same kind of thing. She's just riding on his bike and music is playing.
And it's amazing.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. There's one scene where they're parked the bike and the sun is setting and it looks like the cover of a K-Tel record.
Songs of Grease.
Songs
too.
Of 70s and 60s and 70s. Here's one. Do it for our country.
Oh.
So when they come back, he's getting ready to reveal his identity to her, and the T-Birds show up and chase him off. And of course, Johnny threatens her and says, "Hey, if I ever see that guy near you again, then I'm gonna get him. Like, that's it. I'll beat the crap out of him." And of course, then it upsets Paulette because she's with Johnny now, and she's saying, "Well, hey, who are you with exactly? Why are you so upset that she's with somebody when you're with me?" And is pissed at him with that. Of course, then the T-Birds start singing, and this is in a very Grease-like moment, or a Glee-like moment. They are singing just at the service station, and suddenly they're in front of this, like, screen with, like, shadow stuff happening on the background, and then we learned they're, like, rehearsing at the talent show.
Yeah, it was an odd, like, cutaway to, like, I was like, wait, what happened? Wait, oh, we're in a different scene.
Which I'd be
oh,
fine
they're in
with.
The show? Okay.
We got jilted by our girlfriends, but hey, let's go practice for the talent competition.
Well, I would have been the fine most with important that if it was like that in anything else, but yeah. It's not either. But again, a through story has started to develop. No more bits. Yeah, quote, through story. Stephanie does awful on a paper about Hamlet, and Michael offers to help her. But of course, they go to get a burger, where we learn two things.
Two things.
Stephanie's obsessed with the mystery writer.
Three things, but go ahead.
And Stephanie is just loves guzzling ketchup.
Ketchup.
She pours
everywhere.
It. At one point, like, she's like, "Oh, they don't put enough ketchup on this burger." And they cut away, and they come back, and there's just ketchup slathered all over the burger.
Just oozing,
so
dripping
disgusting.
Down. There's the third thing that we learned from this movie,
and
is that this movie likes to compare itself to Hamlet.
Yes.
Which is true, because the T-Birds do talk in iambic pentameter, if you think about
it's
it.
True. It's
so,
true.
So, yeah.
Little known fact.
Yeah.
But he's helping her rewrite the paper, and of course, like, she's like, "Well, that's Hamlet's problem."
He puts too much ketchup on his
hand. No, Hamlet's problem: the guy doesn't laugh enough. Is what she said. So I can't see why she would have failed a paper on Hamlet.
Well, you were gonna say something? I thought you were gonna say something there, Natalie, about the hamburger.
Oh no! Oh,
okay.
I got nothing. No,
well, that's fine. I thought you were gonna say something.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I dare interrupt. Sorry. I'm still thinking of Let's Do It for the Country. I feel like there should have been another sexual innuendo song.
It
placed
is.
There.
There should
Why
be
not?
One right there.
You
Something
know?
About eating hamburgers for America or
something.
It could work.
I don't.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
Hot dog, yeah.
I feel like the pace of songs, like, we're not getting as many songs now.
Yeah, because we're getting plot.
Yeah.
So, right.
So they're not just doing singing bits.
Let's go back to a script.
I feel like the people that made this movie were also T-Birds and Pink Ladies. And then the ones who sucked, like, got angry at each other and like, you leave the Pink Ladies. Put in your jacket. And they're like, okay, so they hired someone good to take over. And that's where we get this
it
part
makes
of the
sense.
Movie. No,
makes
to sense. Me, no, it makes total sense. Just like this movie.
Yeah, totally.
Don't deny me that.
So Johnny and Goose find Stephanie at the restaurant with Michael as they're finishing up working on the paper. Johnny gets mad and says they are officially done, but that if she wants to date somebody else outside the T-Birds.
Time that they've established that they're officially done.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Like, every single time he goes to see her, like, this is like, we're already like, yeah, we get it, dude. Shut up. Like, is there any other line? For him to say?
Right.
No.
Ross and Rachel from Friends didn't even break up this much.
Oh, they did not.
They had a break. So he says that if she wants to date somebody who's not a T-Bird, she will no longer be a Pink Lady because the Pink Ladies are property of the T-Birds, which is really...
No, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
It sounds awfully true.
It is.
But
it,
I was
it's
like,
still
oh.
the 60s.
Well, yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I don't think you just – I just thought that they were like, hey, we're always together because we're the cool –
Well,
like,
I think
yeah. high school gang.
We go together like a rama lama lama dinga ding ding da da.
Yes.
Did you ever? Did you ever think of those lyrics?
Huh?
Did you? No. It goes deeper.
It goes. There's. It's in some sort of ancient language that I just didn't comprehend.
Yeah.
Shoop da doop da doop shebop ba dooby doop.
Mm-hmm. So they finally break up.
Our
hero, right?
Yeah, Michael gets lunch and starts having this, like, inner monologue song, God. Which is terrible.
You said he sounded like Tom York from, like, Radiohead.
But then he, like, starts singing. So it's like, wait, why did you go from inner monologue song to singing the song? To then going back to inner monologue song.
And he does it part of the way through it. Like, it's you hear the inner dialogue and then, or the inner monologue. And, like, he's chewing, and then he starts singing and picks up where the voice was. And I'm like, is that voice where everybody can hear it? Or are you just, like, mouthing words now? Like, I don't know what he's doing. And a little
are
bit.
Are you just a weirdo? Maybe that's why he should end up with Stephanie. Stephanie, you know, dances to her own feet.
She you know. Goes around campus.
She's having a cool rider fit again. She's just rocking her. Cool rider. She so
this is
singing.
This is the crappiest song in the whole movie.
Yes, it is.
Slow.
It
is the lame. He's our hero, and it's the lamest song.
And also, like, yeah. it makes sense why nobody is sitting with him now because he's doing this. That he's super mopey. This is like a Debbie Downer of a song.
It is. You're just like, oh, okay. I don't know what to feel after that. Like, I don't.
This is where emo music was invented. I think.
Well, to what I was saying about Tom York, it actually, not Tom York, but like at the beginning of the song, it almost sounds like a Radiohead song a little bit. It's very weird, like the melody is strange to it. Like, I was like, I could get behind this, and then I heard more of it, and I was like, yeah, pass. That's okay. Never mind. I take that back.
No.
In his mind.
And it just keeps going. When you think it's done, it just
it goes
happening.
On forever. Oh.
That's it forever. Maybe he was like thinking in this in his mind, and then he's like, "Oh, I should sing this out loud." And then he's like, "Whoa, this is not getting better. It's getting crappier."
This is what I think it is. I think the inner dialogue is actually Frenchie singing in his head because he made up Frenchie in his head, and then when he's singing, it's him. Yeah, I got pretty deep there.
She disappeared. Now he's just hearing himself.
He's just hearing himself.
Which was, it was him all along, just not Frenchy now.
Yeah.
And so, like, and he's still singing Behind My Charade and drawing, like, hearts in his notebook. It's really pathetic.
It's
at this point.
Terrible.
So finally we start getting a payoff.
It's the night of the talent show, right?
It's the night of the big talent show.
The one that we've been preparing all year for.
Yes.
And then it gets really dark, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. It's like...
that.
Well, there's the... So they have where Mystery Rider shows up, and it's just like, hey, what's up? Like, right as the T-Birds show up, too, and chase him down. And so there's, like, this little bit of a chase scene, and he busts through a bunch of, like, barricades... And then drives into some sort of like bottomless pit that we don't see.
We don't know what happened.
Not really, what happened?
And they all think he's dead. And then they're like, at
but
first
then they
like,
don't care. They're
no,
like,
they
but
don't.
Shit, we got a talent show.
Shit, we've been practicing for this talent competition all year. Let's go.
Well, at first they're like, oh my God, what do we do? And like they seem like they're genuinely upset until one of them suggests, "There's nothing we could have done. He was going too fast." And I'm like, oh, now they're covering up a murder.
Also, Michael's supposed to be the pianist for the accompanist in the talent show. So who's
but
playing piano?
About,
yeah.
Well, somebody filled in.
Yeah.
So then they're like, well, we don't see him at the bottom of the pit. Did he make the jump or did he just like fall to his death? no way of knowing, so let's go sing.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Meh. So.
Not my problem.
So they go to.
Distraught. Kitty.
She just started walking. I was like, hi. So. At the contest, Paulette is getting ready to go out to be like the do the summer song or whatever it is. So she or in Calendar yeah. Girls or Girl for All Seasons.
Girl for All
Sorry,
Seasons.
Sorry, don't.
Let's get it right.
I didn't want to pay them for royalties.
Someone's. They already have a song called Calendar Girls. What should we call it? Girl for All Seasons.
So she's one of the summer girls, so she's dressed in, like, lingerie of some kind?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, and he, of course, is trying, Johnny sees her and is trying to cover Paulette up. And she goes, what are you doing? And he says, no, you're going to cover up. That's my final word. And this is, like, one of the few moments where I was like, okay, Paulette. Because she's like, no, I'm not doing this. You don't tell me what to do and everything. She's basically hitting him. And they back up, and of course, he goes out on stage accidentally with a guy who's just crooning away to something.
Like a seizure or yeah. something.
And of course, while they're getting ready, so then the
T-Rex. I said a noogie from Negrelli. Is that his name?
Yeah.
A noogie from Negrelli is like a shoebox greeting card. Lame.
There you go.
So the T-Birds find the Peptones again in the shower, and they're all dressed up.
Well, they got to keep it clean.
Yeah. So they tie them to the shower and steal their clothes to perform. And they basically, we see the T-Birds later performing in those clothes. But yeah, they totally stole the Peptones' clothes and tie them to the shower and then turn the shower on them.
So why were they so threatened by these Peptones? What was the point?
Because
they were good.
Because they were goody two shoes.
Okay, there was no reason for. No, okay, was there any logical reason? Oh, there wasn't. Okay.
Yeah, it was to get a little bit more music in there that was just basically, without having whole numbers.
It was because they were good at singing Sandman.
Yes.
That's what they were going to perform.
That's got to be a free public domain song, because that's like in every movie.
It is.
It must be. No, that's true. Good call.
Yeah. So now we find, and of course we see just a brief performance of the T-Bird singing, because we got to see it earlier, once before.
The right, so different... you didn't need to watch it again.
Right.
Oh,
nor would anybody want to.
This is true.
Yeah. And of course, we see just a couple minutes of them in the Peptones clothing performing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now the big number.
I feel like they were like, we killed one person tonight. Let's kill the Peptones and take their clothes. Like, I feel like now they're on a murder spree.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
So we finally get
serial killers, the T-Birds.
We finally get to A Girl for All Seasons, and get to finally.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I get to see the whole thing.
The whole thing, not really, but
yeah, it's
amazing. I'm gonna lie.
Oh, the costumes are amazing. Like the girl with the baseball mitt on her head was my favorite.
Yeah,
the costumes.
Not only
were
the
good.
Baseball mitt, but the baseball that like stood put too. That was awesome.
The costumes were very good.
No wonder why they needed to have a year to spend on this, because they had.
Yeah, exactly. The October, November, December one I thought was really cool. Like the winter ones or whatever were.
Yes.
Neat. So they're singing, and then they get to the very end of the song.
Attention how much they focused on the guys changing the scenes.
Yeah.
What was that about? Like, hey, we need to go to the backstage area.
Not like it was a running gag or anything before.
And it was a couple of the T-Birds, too, was what it was.
Yes. But I just was like, why are we focusing so much on the fact that they have to change these ladies or something?
Well, so here's the thing. So they were, this to me, this is their beauty school dropout song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not get that.
Sounds a lot like it. Sounds like it. It sounds a lot like beauty school dropout.
Don't worry, and like, no one else did, Natalie.
Where they have kind of the. You have the sight gags with like the angels or, you know, like a couple people. Sure. Yeah. So that's what okay. I think that was.
Oh, that was not at all what. Yeah, I just was like, wow, they just really wanted to focus a lot on the crew doing their job, you know?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's our time to recognize them.
You know, no one focuses enough on a crew, you know, let's be honest.
Yeah. We've seen them throughout the whole year practicing for this. We don't need to see any more of them. We want to see the crew.
And but they're vital. That's what it's trying to prove, which is good.
Yeah, very much so. So now they're almost to the end of the song. We've almost gotten to hear the whole song when Stephanie starts singing about her dumb dead mystery writer boyfriend.
Sweet cracks. Yeah. Ruins it.
Yeah.
Again.
They're very concerned about her, obviously, as they should.
Yeah. And yeah, everybody's worried.
She's holding a star, which then floats away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty magical.
Yeah.
It was.
And then she's singing to, now mystery writer is wearing all silver.
Right.
And we're to assume that's like he's in heaven or whatever.
His Gandalf the Grey outfit. Yeah.
And she's singing to it. And of course she kind of snaps to, and she still has her star and everything, but.
She has her star. No one else made it big after this.
Correct. But everybody applauds her, and everybody is cheering for her. Turns
even though
out,
at first they're concerned.
Yeah.
But then she's amazing.
Again, it's one of these.
Except for a song, but whatever.
I'm concerned about you, but I'm not too concerned. That guy might be dead, but we got to get back over here.
Yeah.
But that's a good performance because, you know, they're invested in her now, like they are watching her and going, oh my gosh, I was so into your song that I felt like you were really mourning a dead boyfriend or something.
Right. So are everyone, you? Oh, you're not? Okay. Oh, wait, you are?
So everyone, like, standing ovation for her.
Yes.
Including Tab Hunter, who's the substitute teacher.
Who's there
in the front row.
Yeah. Who's part of the inner circle of the school staff now. And we learned Stephanie won the women's division to become queen of the luau.
Male and female division. That's why I'm saying, why did they focus so much on these pep boys?
I mean, right.
What were they competing against?
And I didn't even know there was a competition.
I didn't know that either. And I was like, oh, and then a boy and a girl won? And you have a luau at the end?
What they said it like this three is their or four carnival. Times in the movie that they got to win 100 long play records. They even handed them gift certificates when they won. Yes, they said it in the announcements at the beginning.
Oh.
It was on the bulletin board because they were like, we got to enter us this contest because we can get these 100 long play
Jerry's
records.
Jerry's acting like we were paying attention
and
to
even
this movie.
Goose was like, oh, I bet like 10 of those are Johnny Cash. Yeah, like there was an ongoing point.
No.
Yes, it was.
No.
Yes, it
I'm gonna rewatch that. No.
Yeah, no. You don't have to trust me.
Riley and I just stopped watching the movie.
It was not that important of a, like a point that they like.
It was.
Jeremy. They put a crown on her.
Of course it was important.
Have a luau as a party, as you know, to celebrate them.
And they kept talking about this damn luau. I can't even. It was like the Kailu Elani luau or something like that.
Right.
So she wins. Johnny is crowned king for whatever reason, which I think Ms. McGee made that happen. Because it's one of her boys.
She's in love with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so then they win, which means they go to the
luau.
The luau. So they hold the year-end luau, singing the number Raka Hula Luau.
Raka Hula Ula. Ouya, ouya, ouya.
Yeah, some of it I'm like, oh, cool, look, they're using these traditional, like, Polynesian, like, instrument-looking things. And then one of them, they were doing, like, the Polynesian dances, which then turned into them, like, doing, like, the armpit fart-looking things instead. And I'm like, oh, it's just a Grease-style luau thing.
Some of those lyrics were like, ooga ooga oobow, fluka fluka. I don't, was like, what were they singing?
So I was kind of confused because I thought it looked like the guy, the crater face, was in that scene dancing because one of those guys looked like him. But then I don't think it was him because then he showed up later.
It was Kevin Bacon with burn face.
No, but seriously, the guy like looks exactly like him, and I'm just like, did they use him?
Kind of.
Well, maybe they did. What if he was there spying? Like he was there getting intel and then leading his gang in.
I don't think so. His face is pretty recognizable. People would be like, "That's Crater Face." His name is Crater Face, Jeremy.
So then they do this weird thing. Like the water is on fire for a minute, and that's suddenly out. And they take Stephanie and Johnny on this giant like raft kit type thing and carry them into the water and just set them in the water. I feel like they're going to get sacrificed, but I don't know what's happening exactly. It's just kind of going at this point.
That's the talent show was a big deal. Who was going to get sacrificed?
Yeah. You didn't want to win it. It was.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It turns into Lord of the Flies.
Yes. It's like the lottery. You don't want. Nope.
Shirley Jackson's over there just picking up some nice sturdy rocks on the side of the. So just then the Cycle Lords show up and drive into. They had built this whole luau space complete with like fences and giant pool in the middle and all this. Like they put some work into this and the Cycle Lords screw it up by driving their bikes through it. And of course the whole school is like fighting these motorcycle gangs.
That was very confusing.
Except Johnny and Stephanie are still on the little raft. And he's like, quick, help me paddle out of here. And I'm like, well, you're in a swimming pool. Maybe you should swim to the side or
yeah,
I don't know.
It's not that, you know, just go.
I'm like, how deep of this pool? It's like, it's probably 3 feet. Like, just stand.
Did you mention beforehand, they're like, they brought in that teacher who went crazy.
Yeah.
And now he's back. Yes! He looks like he's drunk. He falls into the pool.
Yes.
Yeah, and he looks like he's just drowning. And they're like, oh, whatever.
And whatever.
Next time they have him out, he's like,
I mentioned that because Natalie really identified with that character. Yeah. So.
It makes
like,
sense.
He just should not be in teaching. But I don't know if anyone should really be teaching at Rydell. I don't know if anyone should go to school at Rydell, let's be honest.
I would say tear it down, but those kids have to go somewhere otherwise. So their horribleness will just spread out into the world.
Right.
So then the mystery writer shows up and takes like all of the Cycle Lords out. He shows up inside the hula place and then jumps on his bike and starts fighting them. And so he takes all of them out and eventually comes around where he jumps over the big pool of water and Crater Face tries to do that, and it doesn't work. What's that?
So it's just like the movie, like Grease, where they're driving, and you just can never.
Yeah,
basically. But it's dead with my motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he he wins, and the Cycle Lords scurry off wherever. Johnny is just like raging because he reveals that the mystery writer is Michael. Johnny is freaking out and finally calms down and calls for an extra T-Bird jacket.
They have him lying around.
Yeah, they carry him with them. You never know.
Got rid of the one guy that like has no scenes, has no lines, but happens to be a T-Bird. They probably just got rid of it from him. Hey, I don't even know why you have this. Give it to Michael.
Makes sense. Michael's cooler than that kid.
Yeah. What was his name? We still don't know.
No, he's like the only one whose name I never
figured out. Are you talking
about
the short kid that looked like Sean Astin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought he looked like Sean Astin too.
Yes. It has no scene, like just no character development. No. Nothing happens to him.
He even rode on the side of the motorcycle.
Yes, he did. He was that useless.
Yeah. And he was the one who, when all the other T-Birds left, he was the one who almost got beat up by the Cycle Lords. Yeah.
Right.
And later on, he's...
That was his moment.
Yeah, it was. Later on, he's dancing with Dolores. Like, every other one of the T-Birds has a girl. Except for him, he has to dance with, like, the child.
But still, he had more scenes than Frenchie.
He did have more scenes than Frenchie.
He did.
Frenchie had the good sense to get out part of the way.
So they give him the T-Bird jacket, and they say, congratulations, you're part of the T-Birds. Which proves, once again, in Greece... all you have to do is to change yourself.
Completely.
And then you'll become cool.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
Rydell is terrible.
Yeah. So each of the T-Birds then is like making out with whatever girl they're teamed up with. Even the one where like he tried to trick her into having sex in the bunker. And she's like, sometimes it's okay just to, you know, like somebody and, you know, not be pressured into sex. And he's like, mm-hmm. And then, like, all of them are, like, learning these little lessons. And they're all making out.
Right.
And I think the luau descends into some sort of weird orgy of some kind. I don't know what's going on. Everybody seems very romantically entangled all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, was that with that last song? It's weird.
It was
kind of sad.
It was like a slowed down, we go together.
Yeah.
It was like... We stay together.
Yeah.
Oh, we always do. And you're like, what is this?
Yeah. And they were like slow dancing.
This is your closing number?
They were like slow dancing. And then at one point, they do this kind of like Les Mis, like walk at the camera thing. And then they go back to like slow dancing in pairs. It was very odd. No.
It was very odd and depressing. And it just did not work for me.
Yeah, like the last... third of this is very slow music.
Yeah, a lot of the music is very slow and very, like, drawn out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then while they're singing, it cuts over to all the kids in graduation robes and hats.
Yeah, throw it up in the air.
Yeah, right in front of the flagpole, and they, like, throw them up in
the air.
I don't
know how they all graduated.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Just get them out of there.
They had one class, reproduction class.
Right. And the talent show.
A+.
And then all of the... Then everybody leaps into the air. And that's the end.
You've been deuced.
Woo. So that's all of it.
So yeah, this is not a great movie.
No.
No.
No, not
but
by
that's
any
what,
sense.
Go ahead.
I feel like there's parts that could have been...
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wait, but this needs to be, you know, like, have some cohesion.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. So parts of it are fun.
Yeah.
I like that they added more song. Like, again, I think it helped that they made it more musical-like. And again, I know people will disagree with that because they really like Grease, and I like Grease the movie, too. But I just think it's always kind of, again, if you're familiar with the play... Not the same.
Yeah.
They sing a lot more in the play, and I don't know. I feel like they made up for that.
Yeah.
I guess in Grease.
Well, and the ending number between Grease the movie and Grease the stage play is way different too.
Oh right, yes, very much so. Like, I mean, yes, that song is and much better and more enjoyable. Yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
So
I think the thing was in the first Grease movie, it was just the studio was on it so much that they cut a lot and then added things so they could get certain singers in there. And then this one kind of goes back towards trying to be like, well, let's put a bunch of songs, but maybe they don't all pan out quite so well.
Yeah. So that's what that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people had to think about it. This is P. Bauer 6, and they give it a 10 out of 10. And they say, a camp classic at its best. Now, it says 10 out of 10. But then they say, now I can understand all the bad comments about this film. The acting is bad. The editing is awful. But for some reason, I love it. It's the one film that I know every single word by heart. The songs may not be all-time classics like Hopelessly Devoted, but the vast majority of the songs are pretty strong and memorable. It's camp kitsch at its finest, and you'll be surprised just how many people out there love this film. On a certain social media site, there's thousands of us that appreciate this movie. Not everyone is going to love this film, but it's worth watching with an open mind. How do you feel about that?
That was very intense. They were like, you know, we understand that, like, it doesn't have good quality, but I have horrible taste, and so that's why I give it 10 out of 10.
Right. they were like, 10 out of 10. The acting is terrible. The editing is terrible.
I like it because I have no taste. So, you know? Like, crappy acting and bad songs, you will love this.
Well, go ahead.
I think, you know, I get what they're trying to say with the campiness of it. I mean, I can understand the cultness of it to a degree. I think some things lend itself to it. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, there's no follow through with it. It's like that, Let's Do It for Our Country. Like, that's a campy song. I can understand, like, oh, that would be fun and enjoyable. Right. But then, like, I don't know. It just doesn't.
It doesn't work.
It's not the same kind with the rest of the movie. Yeah, then you're like, okay, this doesn't work.
Well, the first one had so much sparkle to it. It had so much, like, where you just kind of fall in love with the songs. And these are just kind of like, besides Cool Rider, which I think is propelled to popularity through Michelle Pfeiffer straddling, like, a ladder, there's really nothing to these songs.
Well, and, like, the thing about, like, Do It for America.
Yeah.
Okay, like, if there was a subplot where he was trying to...
Yeah.
Have sex with her, and, like, she kept turning him down, or he was like, oh, I'm going to do it. Like, I could get where it was an ongoing subplot, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, these minor characters have, like, this song now towards the end of the movie? Come on.
Yeah. No, see, that's the problem. There is no subplots to any of this. None of this makes sense.
Yeah.
So
this person, their name, Shine Downness, and they give it a 1 out of 10. Says no logical writing. The only aspect I like about this film was Cool Rider by Michelle Pfeiffer. Otherwise, Stephanie is obnoxious. The music has been watered down a bit with excess innuendos for me. The T-Birds and the Pink Ladies are less edgy than the original in Grease. And the film makes me miss Stalker Channing. That's all they said.
Oh.
Now, when a film makes you miss Stalker Channing... That's probably not a good movie.
I like Stalker Channing.
I do. I like Stalker.
But you know what, though? Like, first off, for saying that you think the T-Birds were edgier before, in the play, they're called the Burger Shop Boys. So shut the hell up.
this is true.
Yeah. I guess I really disagree with that bit about Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, with her character and Stephanie's
being
annoying.
Being obnoxious?
I don't think Stephanie is annoying as a character.
Like, yeah,
I was almost like, you could get rid of, if you got rid of the rest of it and you just had, like, even Michael and Stephanie, I might have been interested in this a lot more. But because it seemed like those were characters that I could have spent way more time watching them develop.
The only thing I can think of is just, again, because she liked Stalker Channing and she's trying to compare Stephanie to Rizzo, which is like, you can't compare them. They're just not the same.
Right.
I don't know.
It's
like
comparing Catwoman to the First Lady in West Wing.
That's a little true.
Right.
You can't. Oh, wait. Can you do it?
So we always end with our five questions.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Jeremy. So, we'll do our five questions, and we'll go to you last on this first one, so you can get an idea what we're doing.
Yeah. So so the first question we have is, what was your favorite part of this movie? And did you want to go and take it first?
No, you go first.
Okay. Honestly, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
I thought she did fine. I know that she got some... bad reviews for whatever, but I thought her acting was fine. I thought she did a good job of acting in a not so good movie. But I thought she was fine. Like, her dancing was not on point necessarily, but I thought her acting was good. And I thought she a lot of times, like, when I would find myself kind of being like, ooh, shush, the scene is on, it was because Michelle Pfeiffer was doing something and driving something along dramatically. So Michelle Pfeiffer, to me, is the reason that I tolerated this.
I think my favorite is, I kind of agree with Natalie, that I like that there was a lot more music in this one. Mm-hmm. And I like that, even though I didn't like the music, I liked the idea of the music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like that what they were trying to do, I just didn't like the execution that happened.
Yeah.
For instance, the bowling song is not a really great song.
Yeah.
It's written very kind of quick, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's just throw an innuendo here and there. But the reproduction song,
yeah.
Then they're like, let's just add a bunch of vocabulary.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that kind of works. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I really enjoyed that there was a lot more music. But I think at the end, we kind of lost, like, the music got really slow.
It did.
Like, and that's your ending song? But I really did enjoy the music. And then, yeah, I did enjoy that. And I enjoyed the fact that they were doing motorcycles instead of, like, cars. I kind of liked that.
They changed it up a little bit.
Yeah, they changed it up a little bit. Go ahead, Natalie.
Wow.
We've been doing this for 18 episodes. It's okay.
No. You know what? It is true. I do think it's like, you do have to say, Michelle Pfeiffer, again, there is like a presence that she has, obviously. And there's a reason why she had she did have the strongest career out of anyone on this. So I think that that's wonderful to just watch her, especially so young. Cause she's interesting. She's just really interesting to watch. And yeah, just again, she cared about the fact that her imaginary boyfriend died and no one else did. So she has like a moral heart.
In the song Cool Rider, it's fun to watch her. She's not the best dancer, but she goes and does it. And she tries the best that she can. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's fun to watch her do that. And I can see why people who like this movie especially like that song.
It's fun. Yeah, you know what? You're right. It is fun. And it's not like overly trying. I feel like with all the other songs, there is this element that's like, they're good, but then it's like, it's just like trying a little too hard. And so, yeah. But yeah, I also agree too. I'm just kind of was glad that there was some more singing into it.
Mm-hmm.
Were they the best songs?
No.
But.
What was your favorite song?
Ooh. You know, I forgot that there were so many different ones. You know, I do like the bowling one. I don't know why.
Because it's fun. It's kitschy and fun.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and who doesn't like to throw around a bowling ball? And yeah, Cool Rider. I mean, yeah, who doesn't like Cool Rider? That is like the best song or whatever. So yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, but like in Grease 2, you're like, oh wait, no, I like this. Or Grease 1, you're like, I like this song. No, I like this song. No, I like this song.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if we're talking about Grease 1, then I'm like, oh, I don't know. that's too hard for me.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, let's move on to our second question here. This is kind of our version of Bang, Marry, Kill here, Natalie. Would you reboot, continue, or cancel the series?
Based just off of this movie?
Yeah, based off of this. Would you want to see it keep going? Would you want to see them just start over? Or would you just want them to put a bullet in and end it forever?
I don't know why I have this optimist. I'm like, but it could be better. So I feel like I'm like, yeah, you should like reboot. But I feel like I just would get the same damn thing.
Get the same damn thing. And here's what I read, that if this movie was going to do well, they had two or three other movies that they were going to do.
Yes.
But since this failed, they shelved those scripts, and those scripts actually became High School Musical. It's true. So they did kind of reboot it. They just made it more modern with High School Musical. I think if they do reboot this, it would be set in more in the 70s. Do you know?
Oh, that would be
right down in the 70s.
That makes more sense.
And
yeah,
maybe Richard Linklater could finally do his musical.
Yeah. Well,
put a bullet through.
And it makes sense too, because you know they have the, I remember seeing is like High School Musical had some sort of like basketball choreography mm-hmm. scene or something like that. I remember mm-hmm. seeing like a clip of that.
Yep.
Then in High School
Musical. Well, High School Musical, we would not have Zac Efron. And
there you go.
There you go. And the High School Musical song, remember that? It was the science song, Touch My My Beacon, My Beaker.
You touch my beaker?
Yeah, touch that's my
exactly
beaker.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Light my Bunsen burner, I think it's one of them.
But, but think about it. So they had the basketball thing in the High School Musical, but in this at the beginning they had people doing the basketball choreography.
Yeah.
And so I think like maybe that was an integral part of the next yeah. one, so that's why it showed up still. Yeah.
I say cancel.
Yeah, like as tempted as I am to say like I'd like to see another take on it from like another decade. I just don't think it would. I just don't think it would capture the same magic. Like, if you're gonna do that, just run with the High School Musical stuff.
Yeah,
or Glee or whatever. Okay. Third question. Do you think this movie stands on its own, like without the first movie?
Like, you can understand it without knowing the first movie.
Yeah.
I think so, because again, like it's a weird sequel, because like it really has nothing to do with the first one, but there's just like parts of it that it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, like because you add Frenchie on, but then nothing ever develops from her. So yeah, I feel like it completely stands on its own. I think that that's probably where it was so hard to watch, because they were comparing it to Grease.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's kind of like, you know, when you drink, like, let's say you, like, want water and you think you drink water, but then you are actually drinking, like, Sierra Mist or something, and it just tastes awful.
Yeah.
And it's not really because Sierra Mist tastes awful. Well, maybe it does. But just because you're anticipating water.
Yeah,
so
yeah
that,
gotcha.
So Grease 2 is, like, the Sierra Mist of movies.
That happened to me. Like, a friend of mine, we went through the drive-thru. She's like, do you want, like, something to drink? I said, iced tea. And she's like, okay. Right. And she handed me, like, her Diet Coke, and I thought it was iced tea. And I was like, this is terrible. This must be Grease 2.
Right. Exactly.
Same thing happened.
See? It works.
Same thing happened to me with orange sherbet ice cream and frozen chicken.
There you go. So I say it does, but having said that, the plot is terrible.
No.
Yeah, yeah. I do think it stands on its own. They, you know, and it's we've looked at a lot of sequels. And you'd be surprised how many feel like the extreme need to build on.
Right.
Like they need to have a lot of inside joke or setup. This one,
right.
This one is actually.
There was a first movie.
Yeah, we really don't get that much. We just say, oh, that's Sandy's cousin.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And she like leaves.
Yeah. And done.
I mean, the teachers, they're not connecting with anyone else.
No,
not really. They even bring new teachers in with the substitute and with the other teacher.
I think this is the one movie that we have.
Like the least sequel-iest of sequels.
I think so.
It's like,
besides
honestly,
it being like a flip-flop of the original movie, it's not.
Right.
Well, honestly, almost every movie that we've done. Actually, I think every movie that we've done has done exposition about the first movie to some degree.
Yeah, it has. This hasn't.
And some of them are more creative than others. Some of them are like Sister Act 2 told it through like a musical number, which I thought was creative. Some of them are like Major League 2 where it's like ham-fisted and it just tells you what happened. This one, it's like, screw exposition. We're doing our own thing.
No,
it was
screw exposition. We've got 20 minutes that we're just going to dance
by
the flagpole.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. And scare the teachers.
Horrify them. Would you see the first movie? Does this make you want to see the first movie?
The nostalgia aspect makes me want to see the first movie. I want to see the first movie because when I watch this, I hear music from the first movie. Not in a good way. Not like it reminds me, but I'm like, oh, that could be better. I could watch the first movie instead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that last song.
And then you'd be like, why the hell did I watch the second movie?
Right. The last song reminded me of the last song of the first movie, only slowed down. So I was like, I kind of want to watch the first one. Plus, I've seen the first one over and over.
Yeah.
How about you, Natalie?
Would I watch Grease again?
Does it make you want to watch Grease?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always really enjoyed Grease. I mean, that's like one of my favorite movies as a kid, which is just really odd, but I just remember dancing to it and singing to it. Like, again, the idea that I played cha-cha was like really one of like my little like childhood dreams coming true, because I was like, I always loved the hand jive, and I'm like, I'm gonna be that. And when I got to dance that, I was like, this is amazing. Like, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
What about you, Jeremy?
It, you know what? It really, like, I know I'll watch Grease again at some point,
right,
but it doesn't make me want to run out and watch it, like, right now, just because I've seen it so many times and I'm familiar with it. Also, I kind of have to be in a certain mood for Grease, because when I was a kid, I was like, this is amazing. And now when I watch it when I'm older, I'm like, yeah, this is...
Are you kidding me?
This isn't the strongest I'll tell you thing
what.
I've ever seen.
I'll tell you what. Does the day end in Y? Then I want to watch Grease.
Then go to it. You're okay. Welcome to.
I'm just saying.
You are welcome
to. Yeah, you know, I will say, though, having done the play and have done it twice, it kind of made that watching the movie a little bit less appealing to me. I don't know why.
That happens when you do the play and then you watch something. Yeah.
It
takes you out of
richer.
Something special because you were part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, no.
All right. So, okay, we're on to our last question here.
Describe.
Sum your experience up in two words.
Okay. You want me to go?
Yeah, you can go first.
Greasy shit.
Greasy shit.
Yeah, this is greasy shit. It's kitschy, it's niche-y, it's fun, bubblegum. But it's still shit. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
But you can enjoy it. You can put it in the background and enjoy it if you want.
Yeah.
It's not the worst movie.
Which I think is how I usually saw it when it would come up on like on VH1 while I was doing
movies
dishes.
That rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Natalie. How would you describe two words?
Two words. Okay. It says it's dopey. I don't know.
That's fine.
Manic Michelle.
Yes. I like that.
The manic dancing, but then you're also introduced to Michelle Pfeiffer, and that's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. Good. I like that.
I like it.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
See, I put musical dysfunction.
Oh.
Because this, so, like, as much as we have musical stuff going on, like, the experience between, like, a lot of the songs are very rapey, and, like, a lot of the songs are, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff about, like, you know, okay, Johnny has moved on to somebody else, but he also wants to control who Michelle Pfeiffer is, who Stephanie is seeing. And it's like, there's all these, like, weird, bad relationship things happening. And I know it may be, like, product of the times or whatever, but I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, some of it I was going, huh, that's hard to watch as we were watching it happen, so. Yeah, I think that's what I would say.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think that we would say this movie's okay.
Yeah, I mean, take it for what it's worth.
Take it for what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
although some of the Netflix said it was like 3 out of 4, or no, 4 star, 4 out of 5 stars.
No.
Really?
Three. I give it 3.
There's a reason why Netflix isn't. Aren't they switching their system to like thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, yeah, percentages
and
stuff.
That is the reason, because someone's like, "Hey, this is great." So,
but again,
yeah.
I think it's the nostalgia aspect. I think when we were younger, we went, "Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer on a you know ladder. That's awesome." And I had a friend that would do that backstage. She would climb a ladder and do the whole cool rider thing. So
nice.
I don't think it's a great movie, but it's not a terrible movie.
No.
Obviously, it's not better than the original.
No.
There's some fun songs in here if you want to. If you want to watch it, watch it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
If you want to watch it, just Grease again.
Yeah.
It becomes Grease 2.
Yeah. Why not watch it in its heyday before you do?
Yeah.
So, you've been deuced.
Yep.
So, any shout-outs, Natalie, that you want to give?
No, I don't. I should. Man. Yeah.
Maybe to Felicity again? Because she was awesome.
Wait, what?
To Felicity again? Because she was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess my kid. No. Thank you to Felicity for being here. She was awesome.
Felicity,
you know
what?
Here's a funny story about it. Okay, you were saying if I watched Grease, and actually I have recently watched Grease, and as you normally do with any four-year-old, you have your child watch it, because that's what four-year-olds watch is Grease, right?
Makes sense.
But no, because I thought you would enjoy the music and dancing just like I did as a kid. No, so anyways, that song, at the end, We Go Together, she was like, oh, that's the song from Secret Life of Pets. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, that's the hot dog dance thing. And I'm just like, again, I was like, what are you talking about? No, in the movie, The Secret Life of Pets, the two dogs go to like some hot dog place where they have this dream about the hot dogs talking to them or something like that. And they're singing that song. So my child knew it.
Nice.
Yeah.
It lives on.
It lives on.
Yes, exactly.
Now, so if Michelle Pfeiffer was eating a hot dog, it would have a ton of ketchup on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is true.
And we'll leave slathered it in it.
All right. We got some good things coming up. We we finished our music movie section with Grease. We got a couple of our own picks coming up. We have a live show that we're going to do on August 23rd, where we're going to watch Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. 8 p.m. We're going to do that. You can follow us on Facebook. We're just going to riff and watch the movie and talk about what is going on. You can also comment through Facebook, hashtag whatever you want.
We'll come up with a hashtag.
Yeah. We'll do whatever. But where can you find our podcast and where can you listen to it, Jeremy?
Well, you can find us at the deucepodcast.podbean.com.
Are you writing this down, Natalie? Write it down.
Deucepodcast.podbean.com.
Which we'll link up on our Facebook page, so you can just click it
right
there.
Yeah, you don't need to write this down. We'll link it up.
And then you can also get it from iTunes. You can get it on Google Play Music, and you can get it on Stitcher. You can stream it from there. So all sorts of options to get that. But otherwise, we'll put it on our Facebook page. Make sure to join if you have not. We always welcome new people joining the group and talking and throwing things out there.
And if you want to be a guest like Natalie, just let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll put you on. Thank you so much, Natalie, for joining us.
Thank you. I had such a blast. This was amazing.
Okay.
Super fun.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you got to do Grease, too.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
Grease 2.
And now I'd like to give all the other sequels.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we'll definitely have you back on, Natalie.
We will.
Yeah, we love having you on here.
And remember, folks, the sequel is king.